And that was a nice overview of history. We now turn to Richard Stroup, Montana State University and the Political Economy Research Center in Bozeman, Montana. Rick has had a distinguished career in terms of economics, working on a lot of different issues. He's the author of one of the leading textbooks in economics, one of the co-founders of something called the Free Market Environmentalism School. I had the good fortune for 10 years to have an office 10 feet from Rick's door, and I probably learned more economics walking down and asking all my questions to Rick than I did in any other part of my professional life. So, Rick Stroup, also on the renewal of the market order, the title, The Market Order, Onward and Upward, and I don't even see a question mark behind that, Rick. So.
Onward and upward with no question mark. I am an optimist on this question. I think it was Garrett Hardin who said that economists are probably the last of the sane optimists when it comes to things like environment, where I've spent a good bit of my career. Well, what's the market order? My concept of the market order is this. It's a way to organize the economy with private property voluntarily exchanged. The opposite of market order is socialism or a centrally planned economy, or one of Gordon Tullock's despots, whatever. That's the opposite. In any case, one important note here, the market order as I see it extends far beyond commerce. Market order is not simply commerce. It's whatever people do individually with their own private property. I say individually, I include clubs. I include private religious organizations. As long as they're not centrally controlled, as long as they're not centrally subsidized, they are part of the market order, in my definition anyway. A measure of the extent of the market order in any given country at any given time is the Economic Freedom of the World Index of the Fraser Institute in Canada, or Cato Institute here, or a similar economic freedom index put out by the Heritage Foundation and the Wall Street Journal. Both came out, I believe it was 1997, and are updated annually. They give a pretty good picture of to what extent the market order, in fact, is ruling in any given economy. I am optimistic about the future of the market order. I think it's also extremely important that the market order succeed, and let me give you some reasons why. Four reasons, basically, to believe that the market order is both crucial and that optimism is in order. First, the empirical evidence of the direct benefits that flow from the market order is, for the first time, I think, becoming really clear and better known in the world. There are dozens, literally dozens now, just in the last 5 years, of peer-reviewed papers in economics and policy journals using the economic freedom indices to measure the strength of the market order in each economy and changes over time in that strength. And these studies, which look at measures of prosperity, measures of environmental quality, of human health, of living conditions, and so on, all of these things that people want very much, these material things, improve. All of these things improve when the market order is stronger over time in a given country and across countries. When the market order is stronger, the environment is better, people are better off almost any way you choose to measure them. The evidence is really very clear. More reliance on a market order improves all these measures of personal well-being. And equally important for my optimism, this evidence is receiving new attention worldwide, especially in the United States, the one place where arguably the market order has not been advancing, but rather receding slightly. The evidence is becoming more and more clear. Evidence also is becoming available, the second factor here, evidence is also becoming available on just how necessary it is to have a market order and different components of a market order to gain those benefits, the better environment, the better health, making poor people better off, and so forth. The rule of law, firm property rights, freedom with accountability. These elements, which are all part of the Economic Freedom Index, these elements individually are being investigated vis-a-vis what happens to these other variables, well-being of human kind of variables. What happens to human welfare when these variables get strong? What happens when private property rights become better enforced? What happens when the rule of law is stronger? All of these things get better. And it's become better and better known. And I think a big part of that is due to this research based on the economic freedom of the world and its components, these economic freedom indices and their components. Third, in a market order as opposed to socialism or central planning or despotism, individual choices make all the difference to the individual's success in meeting his, Jane would remind me, or her goals. And therefore, because the individual decision matters here, the individual decision rules on so many things in the market order, the individual now, in this market order, finds it in his or her interest to seek out honest and morally upstanding partners in work, in trade, and for all kinds of productive cooperation. When people are seeking out others of high morality to deal with, and when those individuals tend to shun others, good things happen on a lot of fronts. I think it's obvious why. To a serious extent, the market order rewards these permanent values. Honesty, industry, as opposed to shirking and dishonesty and cheating. And when people who don't have those values are shunned by vigilant others, who are not only seeking a better partner to work with or trade with, they're also seeking to protect their own reputation because they don't want to be shunned by association with those who fail to have proper values. That, I think, is truly important. Good values, the kind of values that this society honors, are rewarded to a serious extent. Not completely, I'm sure, but to a serious extent in the market economy. And finally, fourth, the thing I'd like to remind you about is the importance to civil society of a market order. Edmund Burke long ago taught us the importance of little platoons of citizens working voluntarily together on problems of concern to their own community. More recently, Charles Murray showed how increased poverty and neighborhood deterioration and lots of other related problems are caused in part when we replace voluntary local control and responsibility, what I call the market order, with centralized, bureaucratized poverty programs. Well, that certainly caught the attention of this economist. Here I was reading a former social worker and learning an important economic lesson. In the same way, another impressive study from the mid-1990s caught my eye. Economist Kelly Olds, writing in a major journal, showed that when about 1800, a couple of hundred years ago, when America, state by state, turned away from state churches, withdrawing all support from the state churches, causing all sorts of anxiety among the anti-disestablishmentarians, who feared that if the subsidy were to fall, activity of the church would fall, religion would decline, and the permanent values would be harmed. Well, far from it. In fact, as these states withdrew all support, every dime, from these churches. What happened was that church attendance rose, church budgets rose, the number of preachers rose, and America ever since has been far and away the leader in religiosity, church attendance, and voluntary giving to churches. The little platoons swung into action when the market order was turned to in place of government support. The market order brought the little platoons forth, and the entrepreneurs for that matter, and churches thrived. They prospered. To this day, of course, most of you know, I'm sure, that most industrialized democracies, in fact, have state-sponsored churches, tax-supported churches. Attendance is very low. Their effect is minimal. It turns out that the little platoons do far better. Civil society flourishes when the market order rules. That shouldn't be too much of a mystery when you think more deeply about it. A voluntary organization, be it a church, a club, a synagogue, whatever it is run by those who care the most about it. It is not run by the median voter. It is not run by a committee of the legislature. It does not have to please the average taxpayer, or the government institutions do. The market order causes civil society to thrive. The bottom line is this: Americans and others, especially economists, are becoming more and more convinced of what members of the Philadelphia Society have known for quite a long time. A society of free and responsible individuals interacting through a market order builds more success, judging by all sorts of criteria, all sorts of material and other criteria, ranging from prosperity and how the poor are treated. By the way, it turns out that the poor, if anything, gain more than anyone else when we have the prosperity brought on by market orders. When the econometric research is done just looking at poor countries and no other, and just looking at the poor people within poor countries and no other, the same exact results hold. More market order, more prosperity, better health, better environment, and so on. Individuals acting through a market order build more success, judging by all sorts of criteria, than do we get, in fact, with less reliance on the market order. I think that's becoming better known. It's not too hard to understand once you think deeply about it, but I think more people are learning it, and I think it's important to all of us that civil society, as well as prosperity, as well as the environment and all the rest, these things need to prosper, and the market order is helping that to happen. Thank you very much.